Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS. You can also listen to all the shows at bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. And now we've added a new element to Bassmaster Radio, and that's our video feed that you can find at bassmaster.com/radio or go to bassmaster.com and click on the watch tab and then click on Bassmaster Radio. We also encourage you to visit our YouTube page at Bassmaster Radio for select interviews with guests video style. Check that out at YouTube/Bassmaster Radio. Well, we are getting closer and closer to the start of the 2022 Elite Season, and as it has for the last 3 years and four of the last five, the season begins in Palatka, Florida on the St. Johns River. Cliff Prince is always a popular fantasy pick there since, well, he lives on the banks of the river. So that's a great place to start, and Cliff is coming up in a few minutes. Now, 2 years ago, Brian New fished his first event with bass at the St. Croix Bassmaster Open on the Kissimmee Channel Lakes. He won that. Last year on the St. Johns, he fished his first ever Elite, and he won that. So, of course, we want to talk to him, and he's coming up today as well. And kicking off his 39th season fishing with bass, four-time Bassmaster Classic champ Rick Klund joins us today as well. Klund's last two wins, his ridiculous 15th and 16th wins, came on the St. Johns in 2017 and 2019.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And speaking of Phoenix Boats, how about a Phoenix guy? And when you're, you know, if it's January, if it's mid-January, and the tour is starting off in Palatka at the St. Johns River, we're talking to Cliff Prince. I mean, it's just the way it seems to be each and every year. He does run a Phoenix as well, and he joins us now. Talk a little bit about this upcoming season that will get started very, very soon, right there in his hometown of Palatka. Cliff, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, man, great. I'm glad to be here.
You know, one of these years, we always have the guys come in a Rapala winner circle after a win. One of these years, I'm going to talk to you before the tournament at the St. John's, and then I'm going to talk to you after the tournament at the St. John's, because you're always hovering around there and always a favorite pick here in fantasy and so on. You know, you're going to win one of these here pretty soon.
Man, I feel kind of do, but when you're fishing against these guys, you know, that Somebody's gonna bust them, and I've been fortunate with the times we've been here, and I've been unfortunate. But one of these times, all the planets are going to align, and it's going to be my turn. So this year might as well be the time.
Might as well be the time. That's for sure. Isn't it advantage? We know about home lake, you know, jinx sometimes, but we've seen guys win on their home lakes recently as well. Isn't it advantage in your case with the way things have changed at the St. Johns River in Lake George and so on? Grass is there sometimes, not other times. Do you think it's a little bit of an advantage for you that you get to at least see this year round and kind of monitor what's going on there?
It is, but I mean, these guys, man, I don't know, some of them I think can catch a fish in a 5 gallon bucket, but, you know, the changes really haven't changed much in the last three times we've been here. It's always been the same. It's just right now, our winter seems to be just now kicking in. I mean, we just had really two really cold nights. I mean, today warmed up pretty good, but that's going to be the end for the next 10 days, what I see. It's all going to be in the 30s and 40s. And, you know, 30s isn't much, you know, talking about some of the country, but in Florida, that's a pretty drastic change when we've had the whole month of December pretty much has been like, you know, springtime. And I think our winter's just kicking in. And that all could change in 5 days. And I really think we need some cold weather to make these fish get ready to spawn, because we haven't had any.
Yeah.
November, we had a few cold nights and that sort of thing. But we're just now, like I say, getting our winter. So, I mean, it could be miserably cold that week of our tournament, or it could be 80 degrees. And depending on what takes place that week to what the fish are going to be doing. And these guys will adjust as well as I do to it, because they've been here enough to see it. And, you know, there may not be as many on the bed and easy to catch right on the bank, but they'll figure them out.
Talk a little bit about the grass situation in Lake George, because it's changed so much over the last few years. And I would think that there's this constant battle between homeowners and different associations and what they're using to kill the grass and everything else. You know, bass love grass and fishermen love grass. Most of us love grass as well. What have they done to that, and what are the prospects of it coming back at some point in time?
You know, I've seen it leave here a couple of different times, you know, not this long. I mean, I've seen it, you know, gone like one summer, and then all of a sudden it's back the next year. And why it's not coming back, I can't explain it. I mean, it's kind of like a total eradication of any vegetation other than lily pads. And why that is, I don't know. You know, why it's not coming back, I can't explain it, and I don't think anybody can. The water's clear enough and all that, you know, that it should have come back by now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the manatees, you know, people want to blame it on the manatees and stuff like that. I think when it does try to come back, they are eating it as fast as it's coming back. But, you know, if it had ever get established and start, I think it would come. But I just, you know, all the lakes around us, I mean, there's a lake down there in Crescent City, which is just across, I mean, like a quarter of a mile across the street, and it's got every kind of vegetation you can imagine.
Yeah.
From Crescent Lake. And you know darn well the birds are over there in that lake and come over into Crescent Lake. So, I can't explain why it's not taking hold, but.
This is such a big fishery. I mean, we've seen mm-hmm. Patrick Walters doing damage in Rodman Reservoir. Our friend Gary Klaus
right.
of Phoenix, you know, he ran to Daytona Beach or something. I don't know. I mean, he was going so far. It was absolutely crazy. Do you see it being that kind of scenario again this year? You got all the canals, which are really good as well, the residential canals and so on. Do you see it, though, being a huge playing field again this year? Will it fish really big?
Yeah, I don't think anybody will be on top of one another. There'll be a handful of guys go to Rodman, a handful of guys, you know, stay there around takeoff, and the other rest of the guys, you know, spreading up and down the river. So, and that's all the way to D-Land. So I don't see anybody, you know, being on top of one another. You know, maybe a few fish that are offshore, some guys might be sharing them. But other than that, I don't really foresee it, you know, anybody doing the same thing, you know.
You're always in the top 20 there. Last year, you were seventh. It got a little squirrely the rest of the way for you last year. I know it wasn't the kind of year that you wanted it to be, that's for sure. When you look at the way this schedule sets up, you get to stay in Florida for another one at the Harris Chain, which has got to be a body of water that you know really, really well. You've got such a great opportunity here to get off to a quick start. What's your thought about this schedule?
Well, you know, I mean, the schedule is awesome. I mean, we're going to catch them all year long. Harris Chain is going to be, if the weather lines up, it's just going to be an absolute slugfest, and somebody's just going to absolutely crush them down there, I know. And that body of water, I mean, I'm either in the top 10 or I'm in the bottom 10. So it's a feast or famine kind of body of water for me. You know, I've been down there, and that lake looks good. The fishing was kind of tough, but like I say, we just experienced a pretty severe cold front for this section of the world, and obviously the Florida bass do not like that.
Why is that? Talk about that for a minute. Why Florida bass react so nice? Is it because they don't have enough change in the water column where they can go deep or go, you know, what is the reason why Florida bass seem to be more reactionary to weather changes than other parts of the country?
Man, I can't explain it. I mean, you go to Guntersville and it can be ice on, you know, on your boat cover when you roll it up in the morning, and they still bite like crazy. Here, they don't do that. It takes them a few days to adjust to it, and why that is, I guess we just don't have enough of it. And I mean, I don't like cold weather. I live in Florida, so I'm kind of like them, you know. I don't know why that is. I can't explain.
Talk to me a little bit about your new Phoenix. I know you were up in my neck of the woods. Our Bassmaster Radio studios are in Winchester, Tennessee. We're just on the street from the Phoenix plant, and I understand you're running a 920. Talk about your new boat.
Man, that thing is awesome. My son's fishing high school, and all through the fall early this year, he's had tournaments. Well, I had bought him a 1985 361 Ranger. And we've been fishing out of that for the past 4 months. And when I stepped in that thing the other day down there at the Harris Chain, it was like, whoa. it was like the technology is back, you know. It's unbelievable what boats, you know, that was the Cadillac back in the day, as you know.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, just the technology and what Gary and them have put into these boats is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. That thing drives like a car.
Yeah, it does. And the creature comforts are amazing as well. And, you know, Gary being an accomplished pro himself, you know, he kind of knows what the angler likes, you know, within the boat. And it shows just all the little things that you find here and there throughout the boat makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that's out of place, you know. And like I say, Gary and them are good enough to set me up in a boat, and I wouldn't run anything else as long as he'll let me buy one.
There you go. Cliff Prince, a Phoenix pro, and looking forward to a big tournament at his home waters out of Palatka. Cliff, I appreciate you so much. It's good to kick things off with you when we start talking about Palatka and the St. Johns River, and we wish you the best of luck of this upcoming season.
All right, man, I appreciate you having me on. Call me back.
All right, thank you. There you go.
See you,
Cliff Prince. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Brian New will join us next. He's a guy that won last year at the St. Johns River, and he's coming up right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And we're spending a lot of time talking about the season opener at the St. Johns River out of Palatka. And, of course, you know, whenever we do that, we always talk to Cliff Prince because he falls out of his bed and lands in the lake. But the guy who went down there last year and cashed a check is Brian New. And what's fascinating about Brian New is in his first ever Bassmaster tournament, it was a Bassmaster Open in Florida at Kissimmee. He won that. And then in his first ever Elite Series event, he went to the St. Johns River, and he won that. So we'll see what he's going to do for an encore, and he joins us now. Brian New, welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, Florida's been good to me. It really has. I enjoy Florida. I just get it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because that's where we start the season most of the time or if it's Florida. I really enjoy getting down there.
Well, how is it that you don't have a place down there? I mean, I know you love the Carolinas. I get that. But I'm just saying, you know, you pull 200 grand or 150 grand out of down there and with a couple of wins, you would think that maybe it's time to start looking for some property.
Well, I've got enough close friends that I've got plenty of places to stay if I want to go. And a funny story about that. So the last, even before I started fishing the Opens, the first tournament every year that I was fishing was in Florida. And, I think 2 years prior to the Open win, I had a top 10 the first event in Florida those 2 years. And the first year that I had that top 10, and so this would be, if I have another one this year, it'll be 5 years in a row. I stayed at my buddy Kyle Walter's house before before, like I'd go down a day early and stay at his house and kind of hang out and go hog hunting and have a good time and then go to the next, you know, go start practicing the next day. And it's like, it's now it's kind of turned into, I got to make sure I do that every year.
Yeah. Now it's a good luck thing. Now it's one of those deals. Now, the first Southern Open of the year is going to be right there at Kissimmee, the scene of the crime where you got the win. I know I'll be fishing in that one. Are you going to make it a 3-for-3 weekends deal in Florida? Are you going to fish that as well as the first two elites down there?
I am. I mean, heck, I won my first Open at Kissimmee. I won my first elite at St. John's, so I've got to fish both of those events.
Sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I hope I draw you at Kissimmee. I mean, you know, that would be, you know, a fun thing to do. And of course, you know, after Palatka, you go right on to the Harris Chain, so which is another fantastic fishery. So that's going to be a good month for you down there, I think.
I hope so. I'm extremely excited about it. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience on the Harris Chain. I've only fished there one time as a co-angler. I did go last week before the cutoff and just look around trying to, you know, more or less get familiar with it and just kind of see where everything's at and you know, just kind of cut down on the actual official practice time so I'm not wasting as much time. But I'm extremely excited about that. Obviously, I'm excited about Kissimmee. I am excited about the St. John's, but maybe not as much as you would think since I won there. But I don't have a lot of experience there. I fished one tournament in 2020 there. I didn't do great. But because I was there, I found stuff that actually helped me win the elite there last year. So I feel like I know what to do there, but to find what I need to do is going to be, you know, the issue. And somebody's going to find it. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to get a blue trophy. And I've got one, and it sure is pretty. And I think I can make some more room right there beside it.
Well, how do you approach?
It'd be pretty.
Yeah, tell me how you approach that. Do you go back and check the spots that where you did that damage? I mean, we watched it and were enthralled by it. Watching Bassmaster Live last year, it was kind of like in a little residential area where you were. You kind of back in that little pond, if you will, and you were fishing shallow, and it was just the bites were so great and the action was so good. But do you go back and check that in practice, or do you not even touch it and save it for the tournament? How do you approach going to a body of water where you had great success at a particular spot before?
I mean, you know, so many variables go into that. I mean, whatever the weather is doing is going to be a major factor. Of course, at some point that week, whether it's practice or whether the tournament, I will 100% check that area. But the problem is every single angler in the event knows exactly where that was. I'm not going to be the only one fishing it. I wasn't the only one fishing it last year when I won. There was guys fishing it every single day, including the final day other than me. And it just worked out for me. It was my time. Everything went flawless. I didn't lose any fish. I made the best decisions at the best times. And I just got to try to do that again. But kind of getting back to your question, of course I'm going to check it. Whether it's practice or tournament, I don't know that yet because, you know, we'll just have to wait till we get there and, you know, see how everything's lining up.
Brian New, our guest. Of course, he won last year at the opening event. By the way, if you go to profishing.shop, you can actually buy shirts that commemorate Brian New's victory at the St. John's River last year. So go check that out at profishing.shop. He's one of the guys that has a bunch of gear up there at profishing.shop. So it's a really cool site to go and check out. All right, so now you made the Classic at Hartwell, and that's not too far from the house for you, I wouldn't think. But you kind of skimmed in at 35th, so you didn't have to sweat out what was going on in the opens the rest of the way. You got in under the cut. But it was kind of a weird year for you last year because you had a first, you had a 19th, you had a 6th, you had a 16th, but then you had some bombs as well. You had a 79th and an 89th or an 85th as well in there. So you kind of sprinkled some real duds in there that almost put you on the edge of missing the Classic. Just talk about the season that you had. It seemed like it was all or nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, one of those events, I actually had a late penalty. I definitely wouldn't have won the event, but it did hurt me tremendously. I would have actually made the day three cut. So, you know, there's at least 10 or 12 more points that I would have had. But, you know, there's a lot of and ifs and buts. But, you know, and then the other event, the Sabine River and Fork, both of those, they just kicked my tail. The Sabine River, I personally don't care if I ever see it again. But, you know, that's, you know, I'm not downing Bass or anybody else, you know, for taking this event, you know, there. Because, of course, yes, I do not want to go there again. But we do need events like that on terrible fisheries. And, you know, because it makes good show and it.
Well, they got great fans there. We have an affiliate there in Orange, Texas, and they do have a great fan base. You're right. It's a tough. It's not terrible. It's tough. It's a tough fishery. A little bit terrible. But we have some great fans there. That's for sure. Brian knew with us.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now the other thing is that you've famously won that tournament with a jersey that looked like you picked it up at Walmart or something. It had like three sponsors on it, and there was a lot of blank space on that. But you have spent the off season filling that bad boy up, including with some great non-endemic sponsors. You've got a new boat sponsor as well with Falcon Boats, and you had picked up Pulse Fish Lures right after you got that win. So are we to assume that jersey is now pretty much covered with sponsor logos?
It's a lot more covered than it was last year, but we can make room for more if we need to.
Oh, you can squeeze a couple in.
Kind of getting back to that, like, you know, two major reasons behind that is one, you know, I'm not going to work and promote, you know, a company that I don't truly believe in. Yeah. You know, and on top of that, like, I want to work for good people. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, why I've wrapped myself around the partnerships that I have. And, you know, two, like, I don't like working for free. I mean, I don't go to work a day job not to get paid. So I'm not going to do the same thing, you know, promoting someone's product. So, there's a lot more of that out here these days than should be. But you know, that's not really my problem. I just have to worry about myself.
Yeah, well, with $250,000 in winnings in just 18 tournaments, you certainly have established yourself as a guy that is to be reckoned with. That is for sure. And it's great to know that you'll be fishing Kissimmee. You've been fishing all three tournaments there in the Florida area there as you go Kissimmee in the Open and in Palatka and then the Harris chain. And and they are different fisheries, though, right? I mean, Harris Chain and Kissimmee, I guess there's some similarities there, but it's a little bit different in what you see from the St. John's, right?
Yeah, so I would say there's really only four major fisheries in Florida that, you know, that can hold an event of our size, and that would be Kissimmee, St. John's, and the Harris Chain, and then Okeechobee.
Right.
So Okeechobee's like its own. St. John's is like its own, and then, like you said, Kissimmee and Harris are very similar. You know, you have several different lakes that you can go to. There's a lot of hydrilla, a lot of different grasses. But then the St. John's River, you have zero hydrilla, pretty much zero eelgrass, and so pretty much you've got pads, hard stuff, you know, whether it be docks or cypress trees or, you know, rocks. You go to Rodman, you've got some timber. And then, you know, of course, Okeechobee, like it's just one of its own. So honestly, to me, St. John's is probably my least favorite fishery in Florida, just because I truly love fishing offshore grass, and there's none of that there.
It used to be. It wasn't that long ago where there was, you know. I mean, this is a kind of a recent phenomenon, the fact that grass is all gone.
Right, yeah. And you know, a lot of people say it's the spraying, and I'm sure that's part of it, but, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, natural stuff like hurricanes is what did away with most of that grass. And yes, I'm sure some spraying took part of it, but, you know, the hurricane and that's just its natural cycle. I mean, that's just part of nature.
Yeah. Brian New has been our guest. Brian, we appreciate you so much. I will definitely see you at Kissimmee and look forward to another big year out of you.
Sounds good, Tom. I'm going to do my best. And, maybe we'll get drawn out there.
That'd be nice.
We might not catch a whole lot of bass, but we're going to try hard, and we're going to have a good time regardless.
We'll have a good time. There's no doubt about that. Brian New, our guest. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Tom. See you.
All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, there are legends, and then there is Rick Klun. And Rick Klun is coming up next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio. presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as promised, look, there are legends. There are great legends, and then there's Rick Klun, four-time Bassmaster champion, a guy who has officially won over $2.5 million on the bass circuit. But I did this exercise about 2 years ago, and I put today's dollars on the tournaments that Rick Klun has won, and he'd be over $6 million, somewhere in that range. I mean, he was winning Bassmaster Classics when they were making $30,000 instead of $300,000. So just to give you an idea of the kind of money that he's won. And the last two tournaments that Rick Klun won with bass on the Elite Series were at the St. John's River in 2017 and I think 2019, the last two he won, which was just absolutely amazing. 75 years old and still growing strong, and he joins us now. Rick, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Actually doing good, getting kind of ready to and excited about starting back up on the St. John's.
You know, you're not a guy to ever look back, but I just made that comment about it. I went through your wins and I added up, you know, today's dollars, and it'd be like $6 million. You ever sit there and think that, you know, if I was just born about 30 years later and was able to jump in the way these kids jumped in now and the money that they fish for now, you ever allow yourself to think that way, or you're just always thinking forward?
No, I remember my original logic, and my original logic had very little to do with money, and it still does. I made it in 1974 when I quit my job. My statement to my wife was simply, I just want to make enough money to pay my bills, and if I can do that and do something I love to do, then that's all I want, and I've done that. And so when you look back, you know, all too often, it's one of the things that it kind of saddens me about some of the young anglers, how quickly they'll sell their dream for money. And it's hard. It's tough. I mean, because it's a tough sport. And I mean, and I've been tempted multiple times, you know, hey, you know, you need to do this or do that and, you know, become more financially secure. But at the same time, I knew I would be giving up that original dream. And so, no, I really don't do that. I've achieved what I'm going to achieve, and yes, a little bit more. But I've paid my bills, and I have been able to do what I've loved to do for now 40 years, and still love it.
Yeah, and certainly your position in the history of professional bass fishing is cemented, no doubt about it. And part of it is, though, the great relationship that you have with Bass Pro Shops and, you know, your sponsors. And you are not one of these guys that has a million sponsors. You've got some really solid sponsors that have been very loyal to you, and you're very loyal to them. Talk about that relationship with Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shops for you, because it's been, you know, you're so... you're so tuned into them. When people think Rick Klun, they think Nitro, they think Bass Pro Shops.
Well, and that's true. And sometimes it's two different philosophies in fishing. One is to, like me, and I'm one of the few that do that, I just want to two or three sponsors, and obviously Johnny Morris and Tracker Boats has been my sponsor now for over 30 years. But at the same time, people will tell you that if you put all your eggs in one basket, then in that one basket, you know, gets dumped over, then it's hard to replace. And yes, it is. Well, that's the other philosophy is, you know, it's like I always used to kid Blue Dave's about the reason he had such a fat belly was so he could put more sponsor patches on it. And he literally would have looked like, I'd look at him sometimes, looked like he had 50 different patches, and he's getting a little bit from every one, but that's a lot of them. And if he loses one of them or two of them, they're not as hard to replace as that one big one. But thanks to Johnny Morris and Bass Pro Shop and Nitro Boats, we've both been loyal to each other. And that's really unusual now in today's corporate America climate.
Yeah, it's funny. You're dating yourself when you say patches. The young people that listen to this, they're saying, "What's he talking about patches?" And I have a box full of them out in the barn and my tackle barn. I have some of them up. True. You know, the old Bassmaster patch. And you know, we talk about how important that shield is. I've been a lifetime member of Bass for over 40 years myself, and that shield is so important. But it used to be a patch, and you're one of the last of the guys that wore the jumpsuit that had the shirt with the with the actual patches sewn on and so on, which is, you know, kind of harkened back to days in the past. Nothing like that anymore.
No. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to talk about your YouTube page a little bit, too, because, you know, you have a tremendous YouTube page. For anybody that wants to know currently what's going on, you know, some great videos having to do with the new Rico topwater bait and how to use that as well. But then you also have stuff in there, videos about the history of the square bill and some other history and things like that. And a great story about your boy, you know, rescuing that baby donkey that was stuck in the quicksand, you know, which is really, really cool. But that YouTube page, it's a modern technology, but it is kind of a great way to share information with people. And you know, you talk about a lot of technique-oriented stuff there.
Well, and I try to do that. I really just try to keep it, you know, as a very positive, informative media form. And I'm expanding it this year to, you know, to where I will have a, I don't even, and this is where a young kid named Johnny Schultz is helping me. But we're going to put on, we're putting on more of that type of thing. And it's going to be more available. But because I'm not good at, I don't like to put too much out there.
Right.
Because it, eventually what you do, you dilute your own information. And finally it gets to where you're almost, if you said I'm going to put something weekly on there, you're forced to eventually get to the point where you're not necessarily putting on quality information. And I'm trying to avoid that. I want to put something on that I think is, you know, quality, and it is contributing to the people's enjoyment and knowledge of fishing.
You know, so many of the guys of your era, and a lot of it had to do with money because the money wasn't big back in the day, but a lot of the guys of your era, you know, they left the tournament fishing to do TV. I know I've seen you on TV, obviously, done, you know, in tournaments and so on and so forth, and you've been, you know, you've done feature type stuff. I don't really recall, though, there was never a Rick Klun show, right? I mean, it was never where you spent a real lot of time doing TV shows and becoming a TV angler like Jimmy Houston did and Bill Dance did and Roland Martin did and all those guys that were your contemporaries back then. It just didn't seem to be something that was, you were more about competitive fishing, it seemed like.
Well, and really, they weren't complimentary of each other. And that's, and I, again, I got into fishing for the pure love of competing and learning the sport, and the competitive side is what really accelerated my learning. It wasn't so much winning a trophy or a check, even though obviously your ego gets motivated by those things. It was more that it accelerated my learning, the learning process. It exposed me to people that were working at a higher level. And but it's when I went to TV, and I did do a series one year with Glenn Lau, and I was called, it was called the Parlay. He did the Southern Outdoorsman, the Eastern Outdoorsman, the Northern Outdoorsman, which was Al Linder. I was the Southern Outdoorsman, the Western Outdoorsman.
Yeah.
And we did that. But I'll be honest with you, I hated it. And because TV always killed the moment. And it always, about the time, you know how when you're on the lake and you're trying to figure it out, and it's you know, no 2 days are the same, and you finally figure it out, and almost, and then the excitement hits you. I'm figuring it out. I know the pattern. I know where I'm going to catch the next fish. And about you, that time you get to that point in TV, they go, stop. Okay, let's set that up and read, Bob. You know? So you can't even, you know, do it.
Yeah.
Now all they want to do is recreate whatever just happened, and then they don't realize that window of opportunity might close in 30 minutes. And by the time they get everything redone and reshot, it's over. So I just got to where I did not enjoy it. It really just got in the way of what I was trying to do from a you know, learning standpoint.
That is really interesting. The great Rick Klun with us here. And when you talk about learning, I would imagine that learning for you is now more maybe about electronics. There's some new techniques, but, I mean, you're a guy that's still catching a lot of fish on a spinnerbait. You do things the way you've always done them with moving baits and so on, the crankbait, the shallow crankbait, and so on. Does the time go by on the water when, didn't learn anything today? Do you still feel 40 years in that you're still learning stuff on a regular basis in this sport?
Well, yes, definitely. You know, and electronics, even though there's different opinions on the contribution all this modern electronics is going to have, electronics has showed us how little we know. And it's, you know, even from the very, very beginning, it showed us how much stuff that we just we're guessing at. In other words, you know, what suspended fish do? Where are the big fish in the lake? You know, what is their real behavior? You can't catch suspended fish. They're the hardest ones to catch, and they definitely are. But electronics guys have shown us that they're very catchable once you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's expanded the knowledge out there more than anything else. And now I can even see the electronics being used in a different way that in shallow water. The water I love to fish. There's new ways to use the electronics here, which I can see will make me 30, 40, 50% better even now.
Yeah.
If I start using that electronics in those shallow situations. So, no, and then, you know, just saying that everything is, there's nothing else to learn is like saying, you know, planet Earth, there's nothing else out there in space.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's a whole new universe, and that's what we're kind of running into in fishing.
And sometimes, you know, what's old is new again. I remember you 3 or 4 years ago, at least, maybe longer, but I remember you on this show and also at other times hearing you talk about monofilament versus fluorocarbon. And it was a period of time where everybody was scoffing at mono, and it was like, if you were using mono, you were a dinosaur. And lo and behold, in the last couple of years, I'm seeing all of these articles from all of these pros that are talking about how, you know, mono is better for this bait, and mono is better on this topwater, and it's better on this spinnerbait and so on. And you know, that's something you were talking about several years ago, where it still has a use in what we're doing out there.
Well, and that's a good that's a microcosm of the whole sport, really, and in the sense that it's not a static sport. It's dynamic. You know, it's new. Do you realize in the old days why crankbaits weren't any good? Because we were throwing 1-to-1 gear ratio reels. You couldn't fish one.
Right.
But now we've got 3-to-1, 5-to-1, 6-to-1, 7-to-1. And the whole industry has done that. And, you know, we're talking about electronics now, but the whole industry has allowed us to expand the tools we use. And thus, we learn more. We can fish different types of water we never could fish before. You know, our equipment is so precise now with the GPS and with power poles and all that kind of stuff that really just make us so much more efficient in what we do. And so, you know, the opportunities. But we've also changed the fish. The pressure we put on them has changed them. And that's why the guys out west, like Aaron Martins, who we just left us, is, you know, brought these techniques to what the Japanese to fish for these high-pressured lakes. We have to have different techniques when these fish are getting beat to death every day.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it's changing, and it's exciting to me. The tournaments themselves now, you know, we got to catch bigger fish than we did in the old days. So that part I'm enjoying is learning how to focus and target those bigger fish versus what I used to do, which is try to catch 100 a day. You know, and I didn't care how big they were.
Well, you certainly know how to catch the big ones. You had that dirty 30 bag a few years ago at the St. John's, and we're hoping that maybe you can get some of that magic back again this year, and we could see what he has done. The great Rick Klund has been our guest. Rick, I appreciate you so much. It's always great to catch up at least once a year to get you on and talk about it, because, you know, certainly the wealth of knowledge that you have is second to none. I appreciate you doing it.
My pleasure.
All right, thank you. That's Rick Klund. I mean, that's just fantastic to talk to that guy. All right, we'll get a break in and we'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we have this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. It's time to get registered for the Bassmaster Winter Giveaway, where one winner per week through February 18th will win a $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. Just go to Bassmaster/sweepstakes to enter now. And you know you can find all your favorite Bassmaster merchandise at Bassmaster.shop. Hats, shirts, hoodies, and more from all your favorite outdoor brands in great Bassmaster styles. Plus, Bassmaster.shop has official Bass Nation merchandise. Shop for yourself or get gifts for your friends and family. Look for great deals every week at Bassmaster.shop. Bassmaster.shop is the only place to buy official Bassmaster and Bassmaster Classic gear. And have you ever wished that you could buy gear to support your favorite elite angler? Well, check out ProFishing.shop for select angler hats, hoodies, and tees, including championship gear from their wins. Check back often as the roster of anglers is growing every week. But now you can rock the logo of your favorite pro. Plus, check out our exclusive lifestyle line, hashtag Fish On, to proclaim your love of fishing. Take a look at the legendary Lake Series as well. You can even buy Bassmaster radio gear and check out the new line of coffee mugs. That's profishing.shop. Now, if you're like me, you never stop learning the best bass fishing techniques and tricks. And now we have a place to find it all in one place with Bassmaster University's BassU.TV. You'll find over 900 training courses from the most talented anglers on the planet, including Mike Iaconelli, Greg Hackney, Jason Christie, John Cox, Hank Cherry, and many more. If you want to become a better bass angler, visit BassU.TV/radio and sign up now. That's BassU.TV/radio and begin learning today. The Bass University. Never stop learning. BassU.TV/radio. Well, the Strike King Bassmaster College Series at the Harris Chain, presented by Bass Pro Shops, is wrapping up, and we'll have a full report on that one next week. And don't forget, the St. Croix Bassmaster Southern Open kicks off the opens season at the Kissimmee Chain. That one is February 3rd through the 5th. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. And check out our new YouTube channel, YouTube/Bassmaster Radio, and like and subscribe there and get notifications of new video interviews with select guests. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.